And welcome everyone to the brand new episode of Adventures in Reality. I am joined by my intrepid guest hosts, Santi Espiliqueta and Danielle Lin. And I am Andrew Bartz, the Galactic Historian. I want to welcome everyone at the BBS audience. Santi and Danielle, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Andrew. It's wonderful to be here.
Thank you, Andrew. It's fantastic.
And for the BBS audience that is new to me, I am known as the Galactic Historian. People have I'm well known. I've was interviewed by Lance White last year, the Zany Miskit, where we explored the 54 million years of the Galactic Historian. Where in 20 half-hour episodes, we were able to compact 54 million years of our history. We discovered about timeline paradoxes. We discovered about timeline genocide, as well as the different processes our world went through. And this show, coming back to doing live radio, is really big for me. I haven't been on a live radio station for about a year now, though I was hosting with New Earth Nation. It's a fabulous volunteer organization that's putting together some tremendous projects. And I want to say I'm absolutely glad to be back on radio. I want to announce to everyone that's out here, this show will be a split between Galactic History as well as a reading show, something that has my audience has been absolutely demanding. And what is going to be happening is for those that join the League of Consciousness Explorers, there'll be a pool from people that are being picked. From all of my previous experiences with radio shows, and I get so many requests for reading that I end up crashing phone lines or things get happen. So you can go to the League of Consciousness Explorers at thegalactichistorian.com, and the pool will be picked from there. Well, this show will be once a month. We'll be doing a reading show for an hour. And with BBS, since we don't have anyone after us, we can go overtime. And that's when we'll be able to get into some of the really fun stuff, or we'll be able to explore a specific history of a person that maybe would willing to be going public. So we are looking for those people that want to be intrepid explorers into what our galactic history has from each individual person's story.
Beautiful. And like Andrew said, you can hop onto galactichistorian.com if you would like to jump in and be part of the readings. Anyone is welcome to listen, of course, listen in. But if you want to actually participate, go ahead to galactichistorian.com. And if you're interested in seeing that 20-part series he mentioned earlier, that's also on the galactichistorian.com for free viewing.
Yep. We also have a YouTube channel where you can get you can see a bunch of the recent shows that we've done. Santi, I want to bring you in here for a second. You've done a tremendous amount of back work with me. So what I'd like to do is to get people that are in BBS radio that are new to me some of the first questions both you and Danielle would like to ask me about what is a galactic historian or what is this material that I've put out. Many people on BBS have heard about me. For those that haven't, we'll have a quick introduction here.
Fantastic. You have answered this question so many times, but my question to you right now is, what is the significance of being a galactic historian right now and evolving on something that you have been talking about? What are the possibilities of other galactic historians coming through?
Well, there are other possibilities of galactic historians. What a galactic historian is a person that's become soul family to everyone that's in this particular drama on this particular planet and is linked to the Akashic record of 20,000 different worlds. That means I have a light body copy of each Akashic record, of each existence, of each place in this physical DNA skin suit. With that and inside this skin suit and the type of light body I have, I was a part of a pod of five people that made it. They were each given a choice to have access to the skills to be what's called a sacred neutral witness to the evolution of mankind. And that sacred neutral witness also has a choice to be public, to say what is truth. And that truth comes from the center of the heart. And that is the nature of the Akashic record. On this planet, the Akashic record, the youngest records are near the core of the earth by the spirit of the earth. And as the core is into the different layers of metamorphic rock, there are seed crystals in a network that are spread all throughout the different layers of Earth. And each of those seed crystals represent an XY point in the axis of Earth's energy. And that axis of energy through all of those seed crystals makes a massive network of crystals that create the Akashic Record, which is a live, living record of every living being's experience here through the perspective of the planet, who is holding space as a sentient being for other beings to come in and hold space for themselves to have young, to have lives here. Not all things procreate. But right now, this world is about to procreate on a very mass scale, where the wisdom of people will expand many hundredfold.
Okay, and how about the other galactic historians, as I asked?
Well, as I've said in many other interviews, there were three before me. I was the fourth to make the third. Sorry, there were two before me. I was the third, and they made a different choice than I did. When it was again my turn, I said yes, and I went through this extended process of having to learn what that meant. There are two others that out there who have not made their choice of yes or no, and there is no fuse that is for them. They can make that choice at any time. And there are other layers of people that are being brought to the concept of what a galactic historian can be. And those people must go through the purging of their dream worlds, where they know that they have false dream worlds interlaid through them. It's the nature of living on Earth that we are part of the false sacred geometry system that's been hijacking the natural ley lines of Earth. And for those that are coming from one view to the next view, where the galactic historian will begin to merge to them and their DNA records will begin to open to them. You know, as species, 80% of our DNA is memory. The other 20% is programs on how we interpret those memories and how we have specific skill sets or psychic skills that allow us to filter this information. When I'm reading the Akashic Record, it is my light body that's a second in the future, a second in the past, part of me in the North Pole and part of me in the South Pole, each perceiving a stream of information that connects me to the center of the Akashic Record, which is the dreaming mind of Earth. And when I read of individual people or I read scenarios, I can read themes like a syllabus. And oftentimes people want to know the overall story arc. And then there are people where people want to know the specific individual happenings, and that's where individual readings come through, reading the Akashic Record for specific people. And then there are times where I ask questions about people like Alexander the Great or Mephistopheles or some other people in history. And then there are times we discover that some of those people never actually existed. And that's what I learned at a young age by comparing what I saw in the Akashic Record to what I was being taught in history class. I saw blatant errors, blatant lies, and I began to ask and ask, and there were no answers in our society, but these fringe groups that talked about sovereignty, or the fringe groups that talked about UFOs, or the kooks or the hippies that thought marijuana can cure cancer, which it can. You know, cancer is a $50 billion a year business. You think they're gonna ever cure it? The answer is no. In 5 years from now, it'll be an $80 billion a year business. I'm tired of 4-year-old kids dying from cancer when all you have to do is dose them with internal THC so they don't even get high. And you can dose them to the point that the cancer will be gone within weeks. Weeks. Wow. You know, I'm tired of seeing that. And as the personality that's Andrew has this concept of a galactic historian, I'm ready to say, even at the sacred neutral, you can say no. And then those people out there that don't understand no, well, what part of no don't you understand? I don't want GMO food. I don't want vaccines. I don't want crooked births, tearing of the placenta and they're cutting off of the umbilical cord and not putting the child on the mother's heart, giving them vaccines, a slap in the ass and sticking them in an incubator. That is not natural birth. We live in an unnatural world. Cell phones and the internet, unprotected technology, in sacred spaces, interacting with spiritual energy, creating a soup of shame, blame, and guilt. For so long have our species been locked into these patterns of shame, blame, and guilt. And we've been learning these over and over, repeating them lifetime after lifetime, stuck in reincarnation, or forced into incarnation and over and over, and never getting the experience that you want.
That's pretty amazing, Andrew. So shall we get into some concepts of galactic history?
Sure.
Go ahead, Daniel.
Well, before we start with that, just to mention, because we do have many amazing live listeners right now, but I did want to clarify that we would be doing reading shows in some of the upcoming shows we have. And if you want to participate in the actual reading, to go ahead and visit galactichistorian.com/join, or just go to galactichistorian.com, and on that homepage there's a large button that says join, and you can sign up for the league. It's currently only at $9 per month, so anyone can sign up, and we will be facilitating ways for you to get live readings on future shows. For this current show, I'm not sure, Andrew, if you had planned on taking any questions at any point later or not. But
I would like to take questions, and let's get into some of the material first. We got an hour, and I know we can go over. There's no one after us, but let's get into the material. And we also got a chat room. You can go to Facebook. We would like to get the audience involved here. I am well known for rapid fire question and answer, so we can use the chat room feature and get people going to ask questions, and I can rapid fire answers out. For people that know me, I'm quite good at that.
Okay, perfect. So that's just to let everyone know who's listening that we are going to be doing some questions at this point. We just want to let you know, since we're having just such a wonderful response right now. But for now, please, Andrew and Santi, enlighten us. We'd love to hear about galactic history.
Very good. So, Andrew, this is the old question of the light and dark battle. What do you have to say about how the light, the dark, and the neutral have been fighting for so many years, and where are they standing right now?
Well, that's a really good question, and you're right. I do answer this question frequently. The light and the dark is a belief system that's been given to us, and we believe that light must battle dark, and dark must battle light. And when we begin to digest these beliefs, well, if the light cannot exist without the dark and the dark cannot exist without the light, is there ever an end? Is there ever an end? The answer is no, because the light and the dark will constantly flip sides. One will become evil and the other will become good until they finally exhausted all experiences. And that's what's happened here in our world. Our concept of what is possible has been limited to just this interaction of positive and negative polarities of love. Light is love, dark is love and perversion, but dark is a perversion experience, and it does not have to be dark and destructive. Our whole concept of what dark is has been hijacked and limited to a single infrared perspective coming out of the roots of our organism when we were returned back to cave people, as we were bombed into no existence several dozen different times as a species. So light and dark is a facade. It's not really the only choices we have. The neutral is the obvious option, the perception that all beings are held equal. And that is a universal right of all beings. And we happen to live on a planet that's 100% free will, in a 100% free will universe, with beings that aren't going to interfere with free will. And we are in this big battle of belief systems. There is no one way. Everyone's way is right. When we come to a unity expression, we begin to learn that no one's left behind, and that actually everyone's belief makes them right. We are conscious, manifesting, co-creating, procreating beings. We are multifunctional, multidimensional beings of photonic light, manifested in these two legs, manifested in this world that also has a simultaneously running dream world, a simultaneous running astral world and ancestral world, as many and many of us have other parts of ourselves that are living on other planets or even in other universes. We have been limited to this I am presence with the great forgetting of the birth canal. Each time we awaken, we forget more and more of our soul past, and none of our present history reflects our true history. You know, we can't remember who we were if we were a great person in the past if it's never been told in history. The victors have been writing our history for so long. Things like the Galactic Historian will spawn from nowhere, where there is no light of truth. A light of truth begins to speak and begins a movement that allows the light of all truths to come forward.
That's very profound. So in that light, what is the role of Earth in galactic history right now? I know we have talked about this quite a lot, but since this is a new show, I'd like you to enlighten us and everybody new to you in that direction.
The Earth is equal partners in this co-creation. The Earth is holding space as a macro entity for us to incarnate into DNA skin suits that are called lineages that Earth has been maintaining over many millions of years. And these represent the 72 first species that spawned from Earth's timeline genocides, as well as post-timeline genocide when Earth began accepting refugee souls or refugee worlds, whole worlds that were destroyed. Their people needed to go someplace. And Earth had the capability of incorporating many different dimensional layers so everyone could have a multi-layered experience here. So the 10,400 different species that are out there right now trying to battle for the positive or negative of Earth, right now, well, the 10,000 are battling for the positive and about 2,000 are in the negative to it. But those 2,000 are fully intertwined into our false history, to our facade reality, where they've been using layers of timeline viewing and timeline viewers to predict how each generation would interpret or misinterpret teachings from ancient history. And then beings would go back in time and change certain things to see how other people would misinterpret or reinterpret something different. And so they created whole generations of false histories. And we are at a time where Earth is the true record keeper. It's the Akashic record. Every single person out there has the capability of reading their Akashic record. But what stops each person is the lack of connection to the Earth. That is why we were put into these sacred geometry cities, so we couldn't dream in the North Pole Aurora Borealis or the South Pole Aurora Borealis. So we couldn't connect to the sweet grass. So we couldn't have the dew of the Earth help us connect to the spirit of Earth, to hear and feel and sense and taste the four elements, to find the magic of synchronicity speaking to us in dreams. That is how the role of the Earth, to speak to us of our history, our personal history, our personal entanglement into this whole quantum development of consciousness that's Earth. There's 7,300,000,000 human beings in the world, and 50 billion other physical beings we have yet to meet who live on this world too. Everything gets a say in unity consciousness. The animals, the dogs, the cats, the horses, the spiders, the dolphins, the whales, and the tuna. They have their way too, because they are too here on the graduation path. They just chose a different layer of experience. We are at a time where Earth will speak to individuals, to step up and be leaders and to break factionism and to allow all people to come to the table of equity so we can return ourselves to the zero balance of quantum entanglement so we do not have to accept ancestral debt as karma in future lives, so we don't have to be forced into reincarnation grids that don't teach us any new lessons.
Fantastic. That brings clarity. That brings a question. You talked about tens of thousands of races here. does that mean that they're intertwined in the DNA and all of us are many different races at the same time?
Well, right now here on Earth, there's about 250,000 different DNA lineages that have been supported over the last 50 million years. Off this planet, there are other human lineages that are direct Earth lineages that were broken off from different timelines, but figured out how to get out of false time and get it back into real time, even though their counterparts had gone on living, so they ended up being separate soul shards. So there's another 6,000 DNA lineages that are Earth-based DNA lineages that live on other worlds. Then there are 10,400 species right now defending Earth that are all DNA or soul family related to Earth. There are 2,000 species that are trying to counter the 10,000 species to make there be a negative concept be here. And if you combine them all together, it's about 13,000. They all have timeline viewing technology. They all have timeline travel technology. And they all are invested in the last 54 million years of our history to make sure that the propaganda on the end date is in alignment with a positive or negative awakening. And all of this quantum entanglement is taking power away from us as sovereign individual beings to have an experience that is not interrupted, that is not interfered with. But all throughout our creational and recreational processes, we have been interfered with. There are times the higher beings stepped in after mass destructions, and there were 200 trillion beings that lived in our world, but we were reduced to cavemen, and we lived only about 20 or 30 years, but it didn't matter. It didn't matter if you did a fart and the next door neighbor that smelled it resolved karma, because everything was a massive karmic resolution machine. Every time you stepped on an ant, you were resolving a karma. Every time a dinosaur ate you, you were resolving karma. Every time you peed on a particular area that caused a plant to do, you were resolving karma. Our human bodies have been taking this survival system of resolving karma and incorporated into a reality system that has been hijacked over many different reality incarnations, so that we are rabid people about resolving karma. And this is how the system of domination and control was able to create a false sacred geometry system that offered the fuel of resolving karma by linking soul families to ancestral karmic debt.
Yeah, you brought very, very good questions. I don't know with which one to continue, but you say resolving karma, and at the same time, we can be out of karma anytime. And that also, you mentioned that we could have a negative awakening, which resounds to be related.
Fear. Well, I'll make a metaphor. Mm-hmm. So if there were to be a UFO spotting that the newspapers couldn't deny, that the system of domination and control basically gave up at that point, those would be the first friends of Earth, and then there'd be a whole other bunch of ones that would also try to be the first friends of Earth. Or there could be somebody that tried to be the first enemies of Earth, so that the first friends of Earth wouldn't really know what was really going on out in the world. You see, if there's going to be an awakening, all the truths have to be told, not 65% of them, while the rest of our species goes back into a creational mode of gearing up for spiritual warfare or psychic warfare or stellar warfare in defending our world, or having to go and aid somebody else's battle. When in fact our species' purpose is to show thousands of other species who are very close to their end of their species lineage. They're dumb. They have no sex organs. They have no connection to a tree of life. And we can teach them how to reconnect to the tree of life, how to regain their sex organs. We can share our DNA and we can show them true love. So beings there could be a female, you know, that's 80,000 years old, that's never had a kid, we can teach her how to have swollen ankles, how to give birth to that child and how to raise that child, but she's never experienced that ever in her millions of years of existence. Their children come out of cloning chambers as fully grown adults. They don't have childhoods. They don't dream the way we do. They don't sleep the way we do. The experiences that we have out here on Earth pale in, their experiences are nothing compared to ours. We have 7 colors of experience and 9 bodies of experience here. That makes 63 different ways of experience every different moment of life. The vast majority of other beings only have 3 levels of experience, 3 waves of experience, 3 colors of experience, and some maybe have 2 or 3 bodies of experience. So they have a very limited way. But when they come here and they use our DNA skin suit, they have all this wonderful stuff. But they don't understand what it means to have the highest levels of free will and procreation, in which you're tapping into the universal sources of life to find a spirit that will come and share a long-term experience of migration from planet to planet with you.
Amazing. So would you say that the Earth is what is... if I'm understanding correctly, the Earth is bringing up a completely new equation into this universe, because it's bringing all these levels of experience that are not available anywhere else.
Correct. And that's why so many species are here around Earth right now, in defense of Earth, putting a quarantine field around Earth, dealing with the Archon grid that's controlling, that has domination over the incarnation and reincarnation grid. Oh, the reptoids that are in charge of the different kingships and lordships families out there that are putting contracts out on lives from the moment that you have your live birth certificate and the sole of your foot inked and stamped, you're brought into a system of commerce where your body is considered commerce. That's known as the sovereignty movement. But that's real. That's how they changed our reality, by making us commerce lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, enforcing war and slavitude upon us, until our culture began to reflect it over many thousands of years, and they made sure our rebellions weren't recorded in our history. And now what Earth offers is this concept in total truth, everything that we experienced here. We get to bring it to all these soul families that we haven't been able to incarnate with in millions of years. We get to show them the wonders of the many children that we've had. They will be able to look at our DNA record, our Akashic record, and learn from our experiences. We become the teachers of the universe again, of how to connect to the tree of life, when these great mistakes were made millions of years ago, where these species began to change their DNA in attempts to be more like us, but they missed the point. They took away the tree of life.
So is there the possibility of us, because I heard you before, you said that there could be a negative awakening.
Correct. There could be. There are the controllers of this world, the powers that be, domination and control, who want to use timeline travel propaganda to lead us to believe a positive or negative destruction. A negative that, let's say, the example, Planet X or Nibiru. Well, it didn't come around because there weren't enough people believing in it. But every time it shows up on the news or on the TV and people talk about it, more and more people believe that fear porn. And we are conscious manifesting beings. So propaganda literally can create our own destruction. So yes, we could have a negative awakening if there was a wash of fear spread over the world. And that's what 9/11 was. It was the beginning of waves of fear. Look at the results of 9/11. Fear, 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 fear. We gave away all our power to fear. Now, if they were to say there's an asteroid coming, what would happen? Would we give away more of our power to the world? No, we wouldn't. We wouldn't believe them anymore. The propaganda has gotten so lame and so contrited, and the talking heads just talking, that the truth can't be obscured anymore, because we're not listening to the sources that are giving us false truth.
Wow. So this is still, I mean, I want to call it a final battle. And at the same time, it's not a battle, because this is a peaceful battle.
Right. It's a peaceful battle. It's, you can't even use the word. I mean, you can use the word war, but there's no blood being shed. But yes, there's blood being shed on one side. Because it's a belief system, is what it is. Everything's a belief system engagement here. The fundamental layers of our reality are in question. That's why people are finding out about the Archon grid now. I mean, they knew about it 2,000 years ago. They just didn't have an internet where everyone knew about it.
2,000 years ago?
The Archon grid's been here for about 900,000 years when it was first installed. The way it exists now, but there were other previous scenarios where it was hijacked. It hijacked other ancestral lineages and had direct incarnation rights, and then it slowly took over from inside the different versions of the Council of 12 that were overseeing the different DNA lineages that were supposed to meld into one big mutt species. That was the whole purpose of the Council of 12 that was founded about 419,000 years ago, on the second paradox timeline.
Yeah, that makes it complicated to measure time with the different paradoxes, huh?
Well, it is and it isn't. I mean, I've been doing it for so long, I figured out the equation that gives me a relatively close answer. But time is unusual. I mean, there is one paradox, the third paradox, where right from the beginning, the whole view of time was changed. And then they realized that it screwed up the abilities for people that were existing on the other timeline paradoxes to transfer information over. So they had to erase that and start over. So, yes, it's complicated, but I figured it out. But time, you got to realize there are beings that live on all four of the paradoxes. Remember, a paradox is a 54 million year existence all combined into one, and they could live on all four and manifest a fifth one out of the results from the different four that they have picked and choose at the final timeline. There's a big game of chess, energetic chess, spread over many timelines, over many paradoxes, over many trillions of beings.
Oh, wow, that I never heard from you. So there's still the possibility of creating another paradox.
Oh yeah, that's always been the brinksmanship of what's been going on here. You know, the dark guys are saying, well, we'll just trigger a paradox, and the light guys, well, don't trigger a paradox. We can compromise. And the dark goes, yeah, compromise with the demons. When in fact, the light's been working with the dark for millions of years. They can't live without each other. That's their whole point. We don't need to agree to both just light and dark. We have the neutral option, and we also have a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, and a seventh option. We just must bring their creation into potential here and begin to actualize our DNA so that all of our race memories are freely shared with everyone, so no one is unempowered, but everybody's empowered with the dream space of Earth.
Wow. That's very profound. I'd like to go maybe into the Archons and how did they got here, but I don't know if maybe it is a good time to open it for questions and answers. I don't know. We can go either way, whatever you choose, Andrew.
Well, if people would like to call in, I do believe we can take radio calls. I just don't know the number here. I'll get it here in a second.
No, you don't. I think we might have people on the wait. Is that a possibility? Let's check and maybe we're ready to take some calls if there are people on the wait.
Yeah, we do have a few people that are on the line supposedly, and they are ready right now. So whenever we want to take someone on.
Yeah, so please come on and just ask questions. Ideally, no personal questions. No, you know, this is about galactic history right now. So please come on.
Yeah, hey, Thomas.
How are you doing today?
Great. Good. I actually was one of the people that called because I wanted to know about a personal thing. But I had signed up a while back on your the Galactic Historian, so basically, as far as the overall history, I mean, all the shopping list you gave just a while ago of all the problems going on are the things that are really disturbing to me. I mean, you just said them all verbatim. I mean, they're just. The health problems, the whole industry, the just the political problems, the war problems, just the overshadowing darkness that is has taken over the United States, and this helplessness that a lot of us feel. I'm just wondering, do you see any light at the end of the tunnel here?
Oh yes, I see a tremendous amount of light. And we're well past there even being a tunnel anymore. The world has changed so much in the last 5 years. In 2008, I wouldn't be able to do a show like this. It would have been nixed early on. As well as many other people that are out there now, different whistleblowers. There were people that paved the way to be able to make sure that information like this and truth like this in many different forms could even come out. I'm but one cog in the big wheels of interaction here. So what's positive? We made it to June with nothing happening. In 2012, nothing happened. In 2013, nothing happened. That is something to celebrate. They can't start their wars. That's something to celebrate. That means the work is being done. That means another 10 million Iraqis didn't die. Now they're trying to show us ISIS, where they're blatanting the cabal Illuminati is blatantly trying to use their trigger words, when in fact there's footage of John McCain traveling to Jordan to speak to these troops who are being trained and funded by American dollars to go into Syria and to fight Assad, which is the same thing that's going on in Ukraine. People need to look up the word GLaDOS. GLaDOS. It's a mission and operation statement that was started by the American Secret Service organizations in the 70s and 80s, and to do bombing missions in different United Nations countries to make sure that terrorism was frequently seen, when in fact it was just a cover-up for assassinations for the different controlled drug industries, or it was outright assassinations of different political parties to incite certain types of people in their various countries so that they could take control of what? Government organizations that were growing radical fringes, because they needed people to stay inside the different many spy agencies that started off with a high level of corruption. So that's built into our history, terrorism. So that type of fear is being exploited. They're also trying to trigger the European fear, the fear that of what the Cold War taught for all those people that heard the air raid sirens going off every day at school in the 1950s and 60s, or once a week the atomic air raid sirens would go off and they'd all do their air raid shelters. You know, that impresses into children. And now 50 years later, they're saying that the Russians are going to cross, and that they're showing all this stuff that, you know, the Germany is going to be invaded. They're triggering programs left and right, but it's not sticking. And then you have the fact that ISIS in Iraq, one major, major, major oil field in the city of Mosul has been captured. And yet the price of gas hasn't moved a single penny. They've captured 40% of Iraq. They're 12 miles outside the city of Baghdad. Entire massive trains of American equipment, which were surrendered by the Iraqi forces who retreated there. American tanks, American helicopters, American Humvees. Thousands of them have been captured by these, or were they just left there by the American contractors who were actually in charge of them? Because it's the American contractors, such as Blackwater and whatever they renamed themselves, which is the paramilitary organizations that's actually funding these three people and training these people how to use American equipment so that they can invade Syria and take over Assad. There's one more layer. The city of Mosul. We want to look into its history. It's related to the Library of Nivea. The Library of Nivea is like the Library of Alexandria. And it also means that there's a massive entrance to underground tunnels, as well as access to different control rooms that exist all throughout the Babylonian expression. Control rooms to sacred geometry technology, which is the whole reason they were in Iraq and Afghanistan in the first place, is the technology that's stuck with inside those very, very stones.
So you see that as a positive then.
Oh yes, this information just allowing to exist, positive. That means you and all those other people that have heard or haven't heard it get to ponder what else is real, what else are they hiding. You know, we know the truth of this world. Now we have to do something with it. And the fact that we actually have the room to raise up and that there aren't tanks in the street already and that the militias have kept something in check, which is the military, it's kept it honest enough so that it won't show its corruption out front. It still tries to hide it. The same thing with the local police organizations. They're going to keep their corruption hidden until the last moment because they're still trying to hang on to these Baghdad Bob moments. That propaganda will survive. Just let it be the status quo. As long as nothing's happening, we are in very positive light. Very, very positive, because they're not manifesting fear. They're not manifesting destruction. They're not manifesting the end of our culture. They're allowing our culture to figure out what it is on its own. And that's huge. That's a gift, and we all have been given.
So, like, even with Cheney and Lindsey Graham coming out saying there's going to be another 9/11 any time now.
Fear porn.
With a nuke.
If nobody listens to them, what does it mean?
Nothing.
I mean, you look at the ratings. CNN's ratings are in the tanks because people aren't listening to the propaganda anymore. Why does Lindsey Graham mean two squats? It means nothing. He's just another corrupt talking head. Everyone in the government is paid off. It's a corporate government. We aren't even citizens in the United States. So why would somebody in the government who's a different class citizen than us, why would their words mean anything to us? They've been giving us the lies and the lies and the lies for generations, and they all know it.
You see a solution, like a people solution, where if we just turned our backs on this whole government, that we could join together finally and overcome this
thing.
Well,
that's what movements like New Earth Nation are for. Teaching sovereignty, bringing communities together, as well as the League of Consciousness Explorers to bring the different powerful psychics and the different healers and teachers together to form areas where people can go and learn about how turning your back on this on the system, how to take your power back, and how to help other people get to learn that they've given away their power to a cannibalistic system that does not care about you.
Right.
Okay, we want to move on to the next caller?
Absolutely. So next caller is it George from Chicago? Greg. Okay. Let's bring on Greg.
Hey, Greg, how you doing?
Internet with these channelers and Salusa and all this thing. And, you know, a lot of this information is kind of confusing. Like, is it real? Should we follow these channelers and what their message are? Are they fake? Are they here to trick us? Or
Hey George, you were muted there for a second. Can you start your question over from the beginning?
Yeah, my question was, you know, I've been reading for quite some time all these channeled messages on the internet with all these channelers like Salusa and Sheldon Neidel and all these people, and I just want to know if that stuff is real or is it just false information or, you know, what the deal is with that stuff.
Well, that's a really good question. I get asked about the different channelers all the time. What I'm gonna say is it's a fine line of splitting hairs, especially when people need to protect themselves because there's certain layers of information that they can say and other layers of information that can get them in trouble. So there are channels out there that have to fluff their material simply because they don't want to get hit psychically for weeks and weeks and weeks at a time that they want to be able to endure, want to be able to be a part of a change in society. So sometimes the messages are very fluffy and just talk about love and light. And then there are those messages that have been hijacked that lead you into a scenario of giving your power away, giving your power away because they're not reminding you that you do have to do the work. that the big beings of light out there want you doing your own work and want to be co-creative with you. And you must be use your discernment at the highest layers when working with anyone. That includes me. Because we are all susceptible to two things right now. Polarity. And polarity can lead us to the left or right of sacred neutral. When we all try to come from an equal concept or some type of relation, that neutral is a way to start from, and that each day we try to return to neutral to allow polarity to begin to be shed it off, we'll be able to have moments where our species can come together. Right now, we're not exactly at that coming together stage where many of the individuals have to finish their separation of densities so that their oldest experiences are put into a proper pecking order so that a being can see what they've done over the long term. So the other channelers out there, it comes down to personal discernment. You know, Sheldon Neidel, Salusa, they put out some incredibly positive information. But they also say things that are different from what I say or different from somebody else says. Remember, this is a multidimensional world. And when you're channeling, you're trying to describe what another being is saying or doing. I'm looking at the Akashic record. I'm not reading other beings. There's a big difference. I'm not in a trance. I'm not writing text and editing what I'm saying. So do those people have a right to do it from there? Absolutely, and some of it's really good work. I don't endorse anyone, and I let people to use their own personal discernment so that they can begin to manifest the greatest skills of knowledge and wisdom. Use everyone as a teacher. Use all of them, but at the same time understand that those individual beings could be targeted. And you wouldn't really know if their information is hijacked until you've listened over them over a long period of time. And you begin to see them saying, sit there and wait, instead of get up and do something. That's the big difference between who's been hijacked and who's isn't.
Thank you very much for that information. Because with a lot of those channelers, you know, it's just like for me, I've gotten to the point where that information is just, to me, it sounds the same over and over and over again. So it's like, you know, what's next?
Right, because it's not that they're out of ideas. They just can't say anymore. I mean, I can't tell you. I mean, literally, I'm really only scratching at about 6 or 7% of total of what I could say. There's 94, 95% of what I can't say. And it's not because our reality isn't ready. It's because there isn't language for it.
That's understandable, but you know, like I've started to listen to you maybe, you know, just for a few weeks now and seeing some of your material out on the internet. And it's just like, your stuff is amazing, man. It's like, it's like someone from another world, man. Just listening to you and hearing you talk, it's just like, you know, I've never heard anything like it.
Yeah, I'm a unique individual, and I've been hearing that a lot the last couple of weeks. And I want to thank all the people that have been catching on to this, this consciousness exploration, locomotion.
So thank you, man. I'm glad to be part of your team, man. So I'm looking forward to, you know, what you have to offer in the future, and definitely get behind your work, man. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. And do we have another caller, Santi?
Absolutely. We have Elizabeth next from Minnesota on line 4.
Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Elizabeth. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Elizabeth Diamond. Andrew, first of all, I've got to thank you for what you do for humanity and beyond. Thank you so much from the bottom
thank
of my
you.
Heart. From the top of my heart.
Thank you. And what is your question?
I have two questions. One is, could you define neutrality a little bit so we can understand what we're going into? And you said there was even more beyond neutrality, 2, 4, 5, and 6 steps. If you could describe a little of that, maybe. Okay, thanks.
Neutrality is the sacred neutral observation of oneself, where we become the silent auditor of our own authentic karmic fates that we have given ourselves, and we identify our long-term patterns, and we no longer want to work with those long-term patterns as a level of reality. and we return to our natural order of the sacred neutral perspective, which you can reach at any point in time in this living life by visualizing and understanding what you were at the fetus inside the womb at the zero point of the fetus. We can bring our consciousness back to the point we were in the fetus. That's our first understanding. And as we go through the birth canal and we go through the great forgetting, we become a baby and we manifest the sacred neutral perspective as a baby, always expressing love. So anyone that's had children out there or has regularly been around children, they are neutral expressors of love. And they are very positive expressors of love and sometimes negative expressors of love. We teach children all about love. The fourth option. That's where the children get to show that you can have an experience that's slightly dark, very positive, and very neutral at the same time, still adheres to the laws of free will, still allows karmic interaction, but doesn't allow an overreaction of karma. That's what the fourth option would be. A fifth option would be allowing a male species to have children at will. A fifth and a sixth option can totally alter the reality, so that the positive and negative polarities don't just have to battle each other, but are allowed to have a little bit of each in each other and allow the natural flipping of polarity to exist within the soul framework of the light body. So it's allowing the rules of reality to work at the light body level instead of your local reality level. And that's what creates all these other options beyond neutrality, so that the great experience of the 63 different ways of life experience from moment to moment can be fully used in every way.
Wow, excellent. Thank you for that. And then, you know, I know there's energies building up, and come September, the energies are going to be so they're pushing even more for more and stronger exposure. And I'm hoping, and I know you are, that there'll be so much light on the exposure that people are going to start standing up and saying, hey, we don't want this anymore. And then that's when maybe the governments can, you know, start helping us crumble this house of cards, so to speak.
Well,
do you see it that way, or...
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I've worked with New Earth Nation so closely over the past couple months, is there is a tipping point coming in our time. And that tipping point is when enough people go, I've had enough, enough is enough, I'm going to do something, whether it's me not paying my credit card bills, me learning about sovereignty, me writing a letter to the president, doing something different. The reason I work with New Earth Nation is there's going to be that split, and there's going to need to be organizations that collect people and put them into organized teams that begin to look at the confrontation and battle of non-physicality that we have of belief systems and begin to organize ways of people learning and sharing information that can challenge the heuristic blockings of Facebook, that can make sure information is freely delivered and not altered in electronic mediums, that there can be regular radio shows or web TV shows that begin to update people on real news and not propaganda news, or other parts of the same organization that just says, this is propaganda, this is disinformation, so that people can begin to wade through the great piles of crap that have been put all over the internet. And then to somehow, some way, teach something about consciousness and spirituality and energy cleanliness. So there is great hope, and there needs to be many, many more organizations like the New Earth that can begin to help people through the transition. Right now, New Earth Nation is a website. It's got communities that are spread around the world that are based in permaculture, new technologies. And there's a conscious examples of this for the last 30 years. This is not something brand new that's come up out of nowhere. So we have great hope. Now let's get to the propaganda, because that's really what I know the root of what your question is. When is the propaganda going to do the Three Stooges moments? We've had so many propaganda Three Stooges moments, and it's almost boring now. I mean, John McCain has been exposed as visiting the ISIS militants. I mean, it doesn't get any closer than that. The Benghazi suspect on an American aircraft carrier that went dark for 10 days and suddenly he's in court. Oh, that's a clone. That's not really him. We all know that that's not the real person. It's just a figurehead that's going to take anger and aggression and keep it on the television. We can predict what Fox News and CNN is going to talk about for the next 6 weeks. You listen to the Galactic History shows, I talked all about what was going to happen in propaganda. Absolutely everything I said from propaganda came true. Syria, Iraq, Iran, Egypt, the voting, Croatia, Syria. I mean, it all is there. Debt ceiling. The media is so easy to predict. You don't need to be a galactic historian to predict. You just need to be someone that understands they've got nothing new to tell us. Because if they tell us anything new now, we'll wake up. Wake up from what? The fact that we're a society that is allowing DNA trade with off-world species. That's where the truth leads. Doesn't matter what angle you look at it, from satanic abuse rings in the Catholic Church, off-world space programs, Bigfoot, it all leads to the same place. We're a species with amnesia. Where do we start for the truth? As a species, we come together and break bread. As a species, we shed off the shackles of enslavement. We shed off the programming. We spit out the sodium fluoride. We reject the vaccinations. We throw the bankers into jail. And we create a new system that is equal for everyone, that acknowledges our star brothers and sisters, that acknowledges the inner earth or inner earth ancestors, and allows all faiths to coexist simultaneously without any restrictions, as long as the concept of sovereignty of each individual being is met at their universal law level.
Great.
Yeah. So do we have any more callers?
Absolutely. We have so many callers. We are not going to make it today, but we have Jay from Toronto that has been waiting for a while here. So, Jay, come on.
Yeah, I'm right here.
How you doing, Jay from Toronto? How can I help you today?
Andrew, just wanted to start off by saying it's a real honor to speak to you. I've been listening to a lot of your material. I actually call it binge listening to some of your material. I can't say I've ever resonated with anything quite like material you speak of. Ironically, I almost feel like I predicted, in some sense, I call it synchronicity, whatever you want, but even months prior to when I actually first stumbled upon your material, I was speaking to my girlfriend. I'm like, imagine one day someone showing up on YouTube and literally changing the world to the words that he's able to spread. And ironically, a few months later, I feel that's what I've come into by, you know, getting into your material.
Well, thank you very much. In fact, I've had so many examples of that of some of the radio interviews that I've done, and I've been taking callers also. That's absolutely joyful. Thank you for that, because it reminds me that this process is really going fast, and there's so many people waking up that not only resonate with material, they know it before they even hear it all.
I have to say, one of the other things that fell in terms of synchronicity was I've always felt like I've policed my own thoughts, mostly through the programming. I was always an astute student, you know, I consider myself educated, so on, a disciple of science. So I'd always have something, subconsciously or whatever you want to call it, kind of policing my thoughts, saying, nah, this sounds beyond the realm of reason. You know, anybody would label you as whack for considering, you know, some of these more far out things. Although I was always fascinated by conspiracy theory, UFOs, science fiction, you name it. So one thing that really made a shift in my personal life was telling myself, you know what, don't limit yourself to any line of thinking. Don't think there's any limits to what is possible in this universe. And when I started doing that, again, I came into your information, And even though your information initially, again, there's always a skeptic in me. I'm always practicing discernment. I'm still thinking, like, what am I listening to exactly? But yet on some poor level, I feel it resonates. And it's, yeah.
So
just letting go, I guess, of some of those. Go on.
Every now and then I get a chance to ask people, what was it that grabbed you from the information? What show was it? What came out of nowhere and said, here's the material?
It was the Galactic History with Lance White. And I don't know. The information, what you're describing is, you know, you have such a casual way of displaying your information. You you speak really, you know, very openly about it. It's a very interesting way of how you even present yourself and the information. And you have, but I think you also take a lot of liberties with your listeners. You know, I think if you some of us who are listening and are resonating, we're no strangers to the concepts of, you know, reincarnation or, you know, New Age theory, whatever, whatever it is. The whole, we're open to it. We've been seasoned in, like, millions of different theories and concepts and ideas before we even come into you. So I feel like it's like a quantum level of information that suddenly everything is kind of collapsing in to form a bigger idea when I do, or validate a bigger idea when I do listen to you. But I think
exactly.
If you were to speak to the average person with anything less than, you know, I have no idea how you have to begin to initiate someone to this information. As much as I love your information, it resonates with me, I would not be able to instantly forward it to some people and be like, this is the truth, without them completely thinking I was crazy. No offense, of course, to anyone.
No offense taken, but that is exactly what has happened to those videos. And it has broken through tremendous walls. For example, like the episodes that David Waterfall did on discernment, those episodes, there are people that's all they listened to. That's the only, they didn't care about the rest of it. All they wanted to know about was discernment. And there are others that only resonated with like episode 7. And there were others that never listened to the Galactic History shows. They just listened to my reading shows. I did 115 live 2-hour reading shows where I would get 300, 500, 1,000 callers really, really fast at times. And I would, and then there were other times there were not very many callers at all. And I do an hour reading on a person, or I do a stream read. And tremendous amounts of my audience know me from that, or from the work I did on the Walking in Energy shows. That was a massive, massive wake-up call, which I described the dream world, which set up the Galactic History shows, the 54-million-year reading of that. And I put out so much material that, you know, the work I did with Laura Uplinger a couple of weeks ago, that's opened up to a whole new audience, as well as the New Earth Nation shows. You know, speaking with some of the top scientists and diplomats and different people in the world, you know, it's given me as the Galactic Historian unique opportunities to just work with some really, really incredible people and to show people a whole new layer of truth that's out there that we've already known about and that we have to start sharing and sharing and sharing.
I know exactly where you're coming from. Like I said, I spent a lot of the last few months binge listening, I think, to a lot of your previous material, including the stuff that's in your archives. Just because, honestly, even if I will listen to a 2-hour segment and most of the material may have already been covered, or I've listened to it, or I've been tuned to it, there's like there'll be a one sentence or one snippet that hits me so deep that I figure, you know what, it was worth the 2-hour diligently listening through this material, even if it repeats, even anything. I find that there's gold nuggets to be had in every minute of material I can listen to. You know, before I even find myself reaching out to ask more questions, that's one thing I felt in the process of listening to you again over a period of months, is any question that kind of occurred to me, like, oh, if I ever had the opportunity to speak to Andrew, I'd love for him to clear up this thing or answer this question. And then what do you know it? By the next segment I load up and I listen, someone, you know, calls in and asks that question, or you go into it on your own, and again, synchronicity, I suppose, lines up and answers are private. Even in tonight's episode earlier, as you mentioned, the link between karma connecting to the way the system domination and control provided karma and the linked ancestral karma and the question Santi asked really went into something I was actually meaning to ask. So I just find every time I listen to you, more questions are answered without me even having to explicitly ask it to you guys.
Well, that's really, really cool. And that was one of the reasons to come back and do these live shows, as well as the Google Hangouts that I've been doing, is to give the audience an opportunity to begin to ask the questions that have been gnawing at them. You know, now this show will be opened up for a reading show. And for those people that haven't heard me do readings, you can go to galactichistorian.com. There's quite a few episodes of reading shows. It's also titled Adventures in Reality. You can also type my name into YouTube, and you'll see hundreds of other videos. For those that want to understand what it is to do that I read the past, present, and future, all spiritual contracts that you are incarnating with this lifetime and every other lifetime simultaneously, and I can see the habit patterns that the life is going through, as well as how other lifetimes affect you, and oftentimes identified the species of who you are before you came to Earth, all the different star systems that you lived in, the overall story arc of your soul, and then how you immigrated into Earth, how you got captured into the timeline genocide, and what you've been doing to try to get yourself out. And that creates a big historical reference of who you are. And some of these experiences that people have during the readings are quite profound, and there's some incredible teachings that come out of them. And being able to go back on air and being able to filter who I'm going to be able to read is going to be a massive change, simply because I can bring on people that have a big story that's part of a teaching that so many people will benefit from being able to hear it live. And when I mean live, like, you know, a live reading, the only thing that's going to be done is the filter that people are going to come through the Galactic Historian League of Consciousness Explorers. And those people that are going to be read, we're going to simplify. We're not going to be doing haunted people, because it's very, very difficult to do haunted people. So we're going to be taking those questions and getting people that really want to know the root of who they are, or be able to ask some of the really hard questions of the material, like, can you explain what the second timeline genocide was really about? I'd love to be able to talk about that, but I need an audience that has already understood that there's a paradox, that the second timeline genocide existed during the third paradox, but technically existed during all of them. So when people begin to understand those layers, there's so much more understanding that can be brought out that affects the now person, who can look at the propaganda in our world and look at the spiritual industry in our world and go, no, I don't agree to this industry. And it's time that we changed it from within, with the power of our hearts, the power of our wisdom, the power of our DNA, and begin to once again include our ancestors into our daily action, to include Earth into our daily acknowledgments of the beings that are holding space for us.
You're the man, Andrew.
Thank you.
Fantastic, Andrew.
I can't believe this big of a picture is actually being shed because I've always felt there's been nothing but snippets of information and nothing. I never thought it would be possible for us to even come close to grasping maybe the bigger picture in this realm today. But I think that you've played a huge role in kind of at least bringing my enlightenment about.
Well, I know I play a role, and I'd like for people in the League of Consciousness Explorers to understand, as well as the BBS audience and all the future audience, you guys can play a huge role too. I was asked in the League question and answer session earlier today what I expected out of the League, what are the things. I want the healers, the thinkers, the mathematicians, the scientists, the atheists to come together there and be able to break bread and say, we can solve this complicated equation of spirituality and an industry and science and find a happy medium where all can be enlightened, where our belief systems can be relaxed and rhetoric can be let down, and people can begin honest research and confirmation of the material that I've presented, as well as many other subject matters, from free energy to creationism and understanding that we are conscious manifesting beings, and that our dreams mean a lot, and that a single dream can change the world if it's shared in the right way.
I have just one last question for you, Andrew. concerns the four timelines having converged into one. Could you just elaborate a little bit? Are we living just on one? Have all my fragments of myself condensed into this one timeline, or could you just elaborate?
Well, in June 2011, we went from hundreds of thousands of timelines to one timeline. That means we went from the fourth paradox, that we are in the transition of year. We are either going to create a fifth paradox, or we create an end to all four other paradoxes simultaneously. And if that happens, that means each individual being understands their sovereignty at the Earth dream world level, and then begins to challenge the system and program of domination and control in false sacred geometry at the dream world level to prove that it still has domination and control over beings who are no longer consenting to the use of their energy being harvested in a false system. That's the mechanics of the awakening. How long that takes is how long each individual takes to process what their sovereignty is. We look out in the world and we think there's millions and billions that are not ready, when in fact they are. They just need their purpose. They need to understand who they are. And that's what such as my material is starting to touch so many people and spread all over the world, as well as many other people's material that have been around a long time. There's been some people out there that, you know, like Daryl Anka and Bashar, you know, he's been out 30 years. You got to give that guy some of the most props in the world. You know, we've got so much that's coming to us that we need a soft landing. We don't need a hard landing. As a species, we've been through destruction so many times. So many of us are still suffering from soul trauma and soul shock, that there's this fear that the rug will be pulled out from under us again, and that there won't be an awakening, and it was just all false hope again.
You're saying there's no fear of that rug being pulled out from under us?
No. That's because nothing happened in 2012, nothing happened in 2013, and so far, half of 2016, nothing, 2014, nothing's happened. As long as nothing's happening, we're winning.
So you feel the more that nothing happens,
the more propaganda has to hide.
You know, I feel like I was extremely open in my own life to these concepts, and it took me a very long time to even begin to expand my ideas and let go of even some of the programming among even the New Age philosophy. That's me, you know, someone open finally has been able to even approach this concept. Again, an open individual to these New Age concepts. I have difficulty seeing how the average person on the street can't even forgive, you know, their own mother or brother or, you know, their next of kin, their next door neighbor, their brother at work. You know, people can't even start with basic forgiveness for themselves.
Because they have callous hearts.
I have no idea where, you know, this inertia will come from, you know, the greater society. I agree with what you're saying, that there is change for certain coming, and I try to embody that change, and I certainly do try to pass it on through my heart space, through every person I meet and brush against, and I certainly hope that this is a catalyst that creates these times.
It is a catalyst, and something we got to understand is there's technology that's preventing billions of people from going through full awakening processes. You know, there's specific etheric satellites that were launched in about 600 AD that are the main culprits of this. And those systems are being brought down one by one by one. And some of these etheric satellites, they target specific DNA lineages that could have 2 million or 10 million or 80 million people a part of it. And those people could be targeted for months in a row until they have no energy, and it could take them months for them to get a granule of their own energy back because they're constantly being harvested. But the system requires more energy to operate each day than it collects. So it's now using literally its own energy, the energy of its own people, where it's never had to do that before. And this is why the banksters are falling out of 50-story buildings all the time, because they're getting a conscience and realizing that they've made serious, serious, serious errors that are going to affect their soul for a very long period of time. Many of them have esoteric underpinnings that go back to the different occult organizations that have been around for thousands of years. you know, we're going to see an unveiling of these things and the shining of light of day, and they're all going to be scurrying like the cockroaches. And a lot of those conspiracy theorists are going to be validated. But then the print media, it'll have to make its last dying challenge to the big news media organization that has called it the redheaded stepchild, that print media is dead, that the internet has killed it. It'll be print media that decides to put out to the masses again some layer of truth. And then the internet generation is going to find this print media and try to put it on the internet. And at that point, the system of domination control, the system of propaganda, will have to make choices. Is it going to directly put out false information that can be traced direct back to them through print media, or they continue to alter the digital media? If they continue to alter the digital media, they'll be get caught and caught and caught, like they were caught in Sandy Hook, like they were caught, you know, in so many different scenarios with the crisis actors. You know, how are they really going to put on another fake disaster and use crisis actors again? It just keeps feeding the truth movement over and over again. If something like that does come through, it's because some organization worked really, really hard with off-world help and timeline incursion technology to make sure that that happened in the now. This is where the big beings in the universe and the big beings in this game show their hand in the final poker table, the final game of poker. Instead of there being tens of thousands of people in this poker game, we're down to about 20 that can actually make a difference.
But this being a game of galactic scales, I figure these last hands will probably be pretty impressive on these behalf.
Oh, yes. No? That's why the Galactic Historian has manifested here. That'd be a whole lot of fireworks. Do we have any more callers, Santi, or what's going on here?
Oh, my God. We have as many callers as you want. My question to you is how long do you want to take it? Because... we have a few people waiting there. Would you like to take any more calls? We have graciously taken a BBS radio opportunity to continue on.
Let's go a couple more minutes. That we'll have done an hour and a half, and then we'll just call it at that and say that this is a great inaugural show, and we would like for everyone to get out there and share this show so that people can begin to get aboard the local motion that's the Galactic History Show, that's Adventures in Reality, that's taking off worldwide, intergalactic.
Fantastic. So we'll take a last caller here with G's Moshi on line one.
Hi, Andrew. It's Moshi. How are you?
How you doing today?
Good. You and I actually spoke about a month and a half ago. I don't know if you remember me or not, but that's okay. I don't expect you
to. I do. You were the bodyguard girl.
Yes, I am. Again, I want to say thank you. Thank you for everything that you're doing for us. So, Andrew, I have a question for you. The previous caller asked the question about the timeline, and it was really interesting because that was one of the questions that I had. And what I wanted to ask you about the Dragon family, how are they involved and what is going on with them?
Really good question. And I don't frequently answer Dragon family questions, but I will now because I'm allowed a different latitude. Okay, the Dragon families represent dragon elementals. That means that there are thousands of DNA lineages where there are both men and women that allow dragons to come and live in their body temporarily and or permanently in a walk-in, walk-out basis. So the dragon families present a DNA lineage that allows elemental dragons to come and experience what it is to be a human, so that when they leave the human experience, that their dragon work, whatever you want to call it, represents something that the 3D humans can begin to experience. The dragons are the ones that seeded the golds in the mountains because it was their job when the system of domination and control was taking over and there was an agreement that it needed to be done and that gold would be the great change of human belief system. And then the dragons began to rescind a lot of that power, and the system of domination and control was able to put them in contractual obligations that were negative to them. So many of the dragon concepts began to dematerialize from Earth and go into other realms, which was what the system wanted. And there were other realms that began to see these dragons leave Earth and sent their dragons here, their elemental sources here, which were dreaming entities from other worlds that began to manifest other concepts like the Oriental dragon myths or the Western dragon myths. And then there was this free importation of dragons from different areas. And this is where the dragon families have been growing through the different martial arts styles or tattooing styles or cultural habits that bring specific families of dragons in and allow them to live in human bodies and be hidden so that they can properly understand the earth and as well as communicate to other elemental dragon sources so that they can begin altering the system of domination and control, because ultimately that's what the dragon force is here to do, is to dematerialize, de-energize, unfund the system, and then begin to alter the fundamentals of the system so it can be a positive force for good. And then you have the dragon families that aren't so good. Well, that's part of the light and dark path that we're on. There are neutral dragon families and fourth and fifth option dragon families living here on Earth, but they're not consciously a part of this movement of reapplication of sacred heart space. They're waiting for the people to stand up and show that instead of being the leaders. So it's the negative dragons and the positive dragons that are constantly in war. Physical war, spiritual war, etheric war, psychic war, trying to make sure that the different cultures are protected, the different concepts are protected. Dragons are also great record keepers, as well as teachers and historians, as well as magicians and hierophants. But they're different. They're not human. They're dragon. They're an elemental force.
Right.
They're a universal elemental force. And sometimes they're very confused, and other times they're so wise and confused that they could really harm people with some of their wisdom. So dragons must be understood. Specific for the dragon families, when we understand a bit of the history about the dragon, we realize there's thousands of different dragon families. Some of them are very wealthy and are trying to play with the Swift system or the sovereignty system, or they're trying to get individual right. people to step up and take gold deposits to start their own gold backed deposited banks at a governmental level that sheds off the corporation. When in fact the corporation energy is just another twisted version of a dragon, who a very ancient dragon who's been put into the servitude of the system of domination and control. So again, it's the dragon families to allow these dragons to come out of the system of domination and control and invest into human body, go through healing so they can get a new perspective, and then once again change the systems from within. That's saying as long as there's reality programmers out there working with them. That's what the dragons need, and we are all reality programmers. We just must determine the level of investment in which we do to change this reality.
Wow, okay. Thank you for answering that question. I would have to listen to that over again, take it all in. I was wondering if I may ask another, this is a much simpler question.
Sure.
Is that okay, Andrew? Okay, thank
you. Yes, it
is. You discussed about, how we need to, take more control about our own sovereignty and move forward about, stop paying our credit cards and paying our taxes and, make a stand for it. How does someone actually break out of the matrix that could be able to do this without, getting in trouble?
You really have to analyze your belief system at the most fundamental layers. What makes you believe you're even a part of the system? Where did that come from? Who did that come from? Who impressed that into you? And then once you learn that there are signature frequencies that are impressed into you that create belief systems at a very young age, you must learn the techniques of removing frequencies that impressed you to create a belief system. The system of domination and control works through tacit consent gained from you from over thousands of lifetimes. So for this lifetime, regaining your sovereignty isn't a single word. It's many words spread over a long period. so that you could begin to get many, many more layers of your experience back, your multidimensional experience, your physical experience, your sexual experience, your emotional experience, your recreational. All of those experiences are so limited because of the amount of available energy that we have. So when we begin using things such as contract revocation, that where we say, no, these are my boundaries, you cannot harvest my energy, that is taking a tent and consciously saying, I'm creating a boundary layer so that I can create sacred space inside myself and begin to explore with the true innocence of the inner child that I was born with, that's connected to the zero point of the fetus and mother's womb, that knows the infinite information and can allow our body to begin to process it. So our DNA becomes fully crystallized and activated so that we can use the great 63 layers of experience here and begin to use all of them simultaneously.
Okay, another one that I need to listen to again to keep it all in. Okay. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Thank you a lot, Moshi. All right, Santi, this has been an incredible inaugural show. I want to thank Santi, Danielle, everyone at BBS Radio, all the people that called in. For all those future people, we have had an absolutely incredible show. Look for us next week where we will be doing some readings, where we'll be taking some calls, and we will be talking galactic history. So we'll be back in 2 weeks, everyone. Thanks a lot.